We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
We have Brittany Spencer. Welcome.
What up, baby?
Baltimore's own.
Yes.
What's up, y'all?
How are you, Brittany?
I am good. I'm so happy to be here. I'm a little nervous because I've just been watching y'all for years. And so, like, you know, This is fire. Thanks for having me.
That's amazing.
You're from Baltimore. Y'all don't get nervous about nothing.
That's a lie. Do you get nervous? I get nervous.
Girl, I get nervous when I'm there. I get nervous when I'm here. I get nervous everywhere.
I get nervous when I breathe.
Yeah.
I am a nervous wreck.
Okay? For real?
Yeah. I'm just not very reactive. You know, I just be like, you know, chilling and doing my therapy, you know?
What part of Baltimore are you from?
I've lived everywhere. Like, to give context, I went to 4 elementary schools.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've lived, gosh, my family live in like Randallstown and Loch Earn.
Gotcha. East and West, that's two different. Yeah,
yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I went to a school in Towson. I could sing, and so it let me go to like magnet schools all through middle and high school. Mm-hmm. And so I could sing opera, and so that kind of like I didn't have to go to my zone school. Mm-hmm. And so we moved around like quite a bit sometimes, but I just didn't have to like change schools. But I've been everywhere.
What made you, how did you end up in Nashville from Baltimore? Baltimore girl, all around Baltimore to Nashville.
People always ask me that. I mean, I found out about country music because of the radio. My friend Keisha at church was like, you need to listen to the Chicks. Back then they were Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
They were the gateway. I feel like they always the gateway. Mm-hmm. Everybody I meet, they just the gateway. That's how me and Raina Roberts connected the first time because we were like just loving Dixie Chicks. And,
yeah.
But my friends, they told me to listen to them and I did. And I just fell in love. I feel like Baltimore is like very like, it's very musical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can go and you can sing in church, but also you can go and listen to music down at Peabody. You got a lot of art schools there. You got like Carver and Baltimore School for the Arts. But also country radio is consistently the highest ranked in Maryland. And so you got a lot of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people kind of appreciate it. You know, it's a lot of different sides of Baltimore. And so that was kind of my introduction to it. And I kind of just fell in love and kept going and finally decided years later to make the move and at least give it a try. I had no idea if this thing was actually going to work, but I was like, it's worth a try. I might as well fail at something that I actually really like as opposed to like succeeding at doing something I don't want
to
do.
Were you nervous to do country? Because you said Baltimore, and Baltimore teeters on everything, right? Because you got club music in Baltimore, of course, hip-hop and R&B.
You do.
You get like a touch of go-go because D.C. is right there. And you went country.
I did.
You went. You totally went against everything, you know, that people were listening to. So how did that happen? What made you say, this is what I want to do as a profession, and I'm going to take the jump and go to, like she said, Nashville?
I mean, it was a lot. I felt like I really loved country music, and I've sat and like thought for a long time. Like back in the day, I would be like, yo, why do I love this? Like everything around me was church, was gospel, was, I mean, my family upbringing, like R&B, hip hop, like that's my family. My father's a DJ, you know? And so like, and he spent hip hop and R&B all the time. And I'm like, what is this thing? And I couldn't ever point my finger on it, but I decided that it was just what it was supposed to be for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I got the nerve. It was something about Taylor Swift, you know, like, I mean, y'all know, like, in New York, y'all are real close to Baltimore. So, like, the Northeast is, like, it's mad close in proximity. And she's from Pennsylvania. She didn't have a twang. Like, she was really poetic. It was just something about her that just made me feel like maybe I could do this. And then Reba. I love Reba. We all like her.
Oh,
TV
yeah.
Show.
I love Reba.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did your
TV
dad
show?
Say being a DJ, especially a hip-hop and R&B DJ, when you said, Dad, I want to do country? Be like, that ain't in Maserato.
Yeah, he was like, nah, you need to move to Atlanta. I was
oh, okay.
I know. He was nervous. And my whole family was kind of nervous, actually. But he got it, you know? And especially, like, now, like, my family, like, honestly, sometimes they be just as shocked as I am. Like, oh, my God, this is actually, like, happening and working. I'm like, I never knew if it would actually really work. I just kind of decided I wanted to try and just give it a real shot. Like I was prepared for it to not work, I guess, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, preparing for it to work is a whole other conversation. But, you know, they're on board. They love it. They love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think what I do is kind of much bigger than myself, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of take that responsibility seriously. But like, it's been very real for me for a long time. Like, you just didn't know.
Why everybody from Baltimore, daddy a DJ?
Yo, your daddy a DJ.
Yes, he
I'm
is.
Sure Kevin Lyle.
Your father's DJ too.
Yeah, yo, that's why I'm so musically inclined. I love music, but I don't. Mm-hmm. But like you, you know, I don't only listen to hip hop, rap, and you know, R&B. I delve in rock. Heavy metal, everything, like country, pop, everything. Mm-hmm. It's every genre of music I do.
That makes sense.
Except opera. I ain't gonna hold you. I would be asleep if I had to do that.
You don't want no high C's in the morning? You don't want to hear that?
No. I mean, of course, if you make it interesting, because, girl, I just be on her. That's it, with the opera. But that's it. But, yeah, my dad is a DJ. Yeah, so.
Was it tough being accepted in the country community as a black female country artist?
For a lot of us, I think it's challenging, like trying to get people to understand sometimes what we're doing. But I feel like there are a lot of creatives that are really open to kind of this reformation happening in Nashville. In addition to like just what we look like, we're bringing our culture too. Like, just like how you say you listen to everything, like I do too. And that you can hear that in my music.
I heard that dude too.
That's my sis.
It come out, especially when I get closer to home. It's just like, it's like pulled out of me. Because I've been in Nashville for 11 years. So like sometimes it's a little twangy, like just because I've been there for so long. Yeah. But I feel like we're bringing a lot of the styles and influences that we've kind of like had around us. You know, our family at a cookhouse, we listen to music where we see ourselves, where we see ourselves reflected. And so we're coming into country, but we're bringing R&B and we're bringing rock and we're bringing opera.
Okay, bring it.
There is actually a country record that starts off with opera. Like, people are just, you know.
And it's probably lit. That's what I said.
It is. I'm just, it's cute.
When I think of opera, I just think of sitting in the symphony and they just down there, you know, doing it's different. I'm pretty sure it's different types of opera, but that's the only thing my mind goes to is the regular symphony.
I get
one
it.
When you sitting in the big symphony hall and they just screaming from wall to wall.
And a lot of it be in other languages, so you don't always know what's going on. You got to kind of read and stuff. I get it.
Why do people have to go to Nashville? Because it reminds me of when hip hop was big in New York and everybody felt like they had to move to New York to get that sound. Like, why do you have to go to Nashville? Or why artists have to go to Nashville to kind of get it started in country?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, probably because of the resources. That's where the industry is. Like, Nashville is built, like, with an infrastructure. That's where the labels are. That's where the PROs are. A lot of the publishing companies are there. A lot of the producers are there. There are plenty of places. Like, in Texas, like there are plenty of Texas artists that are like, they're not moving to Nashville, or they'll come to Nashville and record, but they'll stay in Texas. Mm-hmm. So there are some places. It's just, I don't know, Nashville's just kind of built.
Like the hub for country.
Yeah, like it's just kind of built for that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the radios are there. It's, so it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's just, if you want to do it outside of Nashville, I feel like you can, especially now, you know, with like the internet. But ultimately, I feel like a lot of people end up feeling like they got to move to Nashville. I felt like I had to move to Nashville. Mm-hmm. I remember watching like documentaries with like Reba and Taylor back when I was a kid and just being like, oh, they both said they had to get to Nashville. And I'm like, well, then my ass need to get to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, it took me a few years to kind of get the nerve to do it. But I don't know. I feel like I meet more and more artists that are not in Nashville, but they always end up having to come back to Nashville a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you have to kind of just get there. Everybody is kind of there.
Gotcha. Is country music more racist or sexist?
I think radio right now, like 10% of their airplay is women right now. But I don't think they're playing black women right now much. So I don't know. Both of them is just a struggle, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the industry is kind of pushing for change in that department. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of in need of a little overhaul in a lot of departments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the middle of that. Like I don't know. I feel like even as I make music, like that sits on my brain sometimes, but I try to, I don't know, like you can't really get away from it. It comes out even in the creative process. Like you know this. Mm-hmm. I will say I feel like people speak probably more about race right now, or people who are experiencing it, like people who are black are talking about it more than probably women are sometimes. Yeah. And so I don't know. I have a lot of questions. I don't have a lot of answers though. I be trying, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just hoping to see that something changes. But yeah. In the meantime, my black woman ass is right here.
That's
I got a little album and you know whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of your life. Album, how heavily do you go into it in your album? Like you know, the speaking about race, what you were talking about. Like, do you speak about it heavily in your album?
Not so much. I mean, I feel like it's not that I don't want to, because I feel like I talk about this stuff all the time. Like, I don't shy away from the conversation at all. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just try to put my lived experience, my life experience in the song, and hopefully that attracts, you know, people who kind of have that experience as well. I really do try to, I just show up as myself and try to show up as black and as authentic and as woman and as Baltimore as I am, you know, and as country as I am. And so I kind of leave that sometimes for the conversation, because I feel like, I don't know, if I write a song about it, like, I don't know.
Oversaturation is like, nah, yeah, like this is about my story.
Yeah.
Which country it really plays off is about the experience and your stories. So why is it called My Stupid Life? I want to know. And is it stupid life? Or
stupid.
Or, you know, why you call it that?
It's called My Stupid Life, probably because, in part because I'm from Baltimore, like, we greet each other like, what's up, dummy? Like that.
So
we
say, disrespectful to each other.
That's crazy.
It's a term of endearment, and it's love.
Okay, thank you. Dummy.
And if you from somewhere else, you can't say it. I tell them that every day. Girl, so your stupid life.
It's because I feel like life is, you know, it's wonderful. It's highs, it's lows, it's up and downs. Mm. It's like, it's a lot of things. And ultimately, when I'm thinking about just the things that make me feel most present, I'm just, I don't know, like the best and worst things happen at the same time sometimes. And for me, that's kind of how I think about My Stupid Life. And with the album, it's just no one song sounds like the other. Mm-hmm. And that was on purpose. Like, and so it's just, I don't know, it just felt like a conglomerate. But also, I mean, really, I wasn't trying to name the album that. I was really just kind of figuring out like which song title off of the album was the most appealing to me.
Gotcha.
And when I was writing the song My Stupid Life, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. I would listen to an album called My Stupid Life.
Right.
But also, I mean, I come from that era of like My So-Called Life and like stuff like that. And so it was, I don't know, it just felt like nostalgic to me in a way.
Gotcha. I saw you say that the album cracked you wide open and it allowed you to open up emotionally in a way that you really hadn't before. And you said, I really don't like feelings.
Yeah.
All that much.
I don't. Therapy has helped me a whole lot with that. And I have a lot
therapy.
Of feelings. I love therapy too. Mm-hmm. And I love what you be saying about therapy. I love that, like, I feel like you've been like at the helm of making it almost normalized a lot more. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, when you have feelings, knowing what to do with them is just hard. Mm-hmm. And it takes a certain level of emotional intelligence and also just guidance and knowing how mm-hmm. to navigate what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and what to do with it, you know? Like, yeah. I'm not a very reactive person. I'm very sensitive, and I feel a lot of things. And I've learned that if you don't let yourself feel what you're feeling and go through the process, it just comes out in other ways, you know? Mm. You wake up one day, you realize you're detached from everything. Mm-hmm. You feel numb. You feel like, why do I feel so distant from people? Why don't I know this about myself? Like, there were moments where I was just like, just almost oblivious to parts of myself. And I think that played a part in why when I started having momentum in my career and I started touring a lot, I started having like panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And I'm like mm-hmm. on the road and I'm like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. Like your body remembers, mm-hmm. you know, and your mind remembers even the stuff that you thought you forgot. And so it's, I don't know. I just think it's important to at least start the journey of, you know, understanding your feelings, you know, and figuring out the origin of it, you know, figuring out why you do something, figuring out why does this thing trigger you? It's a much deeper thing. You thought you forgot about it because you were 8 years old, but your body remembers and it developed a habit, a coping mm-hmm. mechanism. And the thing that I've learned from me in my career is that it really does not do well if you are just living in survival mode. Like my survival tactics like crumbled.
Oof.
They crumbled like when I started touring and just slowly. And it's like just the faintest thing like can kind of like set you off a little bit and you don't know what's going on internally. Mm-hmm. You don't realize you're still dealing with stuff from childhood. You're still dealing with all kinds of stuff. Like you're still dealing with rejection issues that really, I mean, you get rejected a lot in this industry, mm-hmm. you know, but my rejection issues didn't start with this industry. You know, it just exacerbates everything. And it's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. I mean, y'all know this in your career. Like, you know, you can be on the mountaintop in your mind or in your career and your psyche one day and be in the valley the next. And like, I just feel like a lot of real life doesn't really prepare you for that. And if you already got stuff, you know, mm-hmm. with you, it just brings it all to the forefront. And that's what happened to me.
It's not good for you in that point because then it creates imposter syndrome.
Oh, gosh.
And when you get the imposter syndrome, you start feeling like you shouldn't even be here. And that affects everything, especially for you because you're a performer.
Oh, gosh. It was so bad. I remember one time I was just having this anxiety attack. I didn't even know it was an anxiety attack during the show. All I knew is that I was so excited to open up for Shania Twain. But I like ran off stage. I ran off stage before I could even bow out. Because I literally just started, this is gonna be so gross, but I just started literally having anxiety vomit. Like in front of dozens of people backstage, I don't know, I'm running off stage, my band is still playing. Thankfully, I made it to the last song. But I'm just like, what is going on? And I'm like, I'm having a whole anxiety attack right now. And I started noticing when I got off stage, I did the thing, my body was doing the thing when I'm having a panic or really bad anxiety attack. And I'm just like, this is crazy. And it wasn't the first time it happened. I was just like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. And so I was in therapy at that point. And so I went back to therapy and we talked about it more. And I'm like, holy crap, I still have some more stuff to work out. And it's true. Like you have to. I feel like this life is very fast paced. Things change at the drop of a dime.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to put. That's what I try to put in my songs. That's what I try to put in my talking and my speech and the way that I articulate what I'm feeling. Like that's my lived experience. Mm-hmm. I try to put that out there. Like I'm saying, like I hate feelings is like, you know, that sounds like the oddest thing I think for an artist to say. We live in our feelings and I do feel them and I'm learning how to navigate them better. But feelings are, gosh, man, they are, sometimes I feel like a rock in a hard place.
Absolutely.
But if you can learn how to navigate it, it's freedom.
Mm-hmm. Now you spoke about, you know, the industry. He asked you if it was more racist or sexist. How do you deal with performing for people that's not necessarily majority looking like you, right? Like I look at it like if I have
all the white people in Nashville.
Yeah, because most of the people that she's performing, Shania Twain, I'm sure, is when you look in that crowd, you don't see too many people that look like you.
Yeah.
You know, when Jess does a show, she sees more people that look like it. Makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel warm. You're gonna see aunties, you're gonna see grandmas, you're gonna see cousins. Yeah. So how is it dealing with you're not seeing an auntie or cousin or people that look like you. You're not necessarily getting that warm feeling at first.
That's why she threw up. That? White people.
The worst. And Envy, white people be coming to my shows.
I didn't say they only coming to your shows. I just said the majority.
Go ahead, Brittany, because these people think they know me so much.
They can't discredit your fans. They can't. They
I know, right?
Like that,
I got some whites in there.
They can't. You sound just like my sister. This is so wild. Shout out, Bria.
Shout out, Bria.
I feel like, gosh, what's the best way to describe it? Like I don't feel a way about it. I just feel like, it pushes me to show up as myself even more. Mm. Like, I really just don't be hot and nothing. Like, I remember, like, there was a very distinct moment where I remember being on stage and being like, I'm gonna start running as much as I want to, because that's what I like to do. I don't know if I can cuss on this radio.
Yeah, you can cuss.
Absolutely. I can do the thing. Okay, yeah, that's what the fuck I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I just remember, like, I don't know, I'm just more myself. And I feel like in my head, I am building something, you know, in this moment with this, with particularly with Black country music. I feel like the people that are for us are finding us. You know, our people, our crowd, they're finding us. And the people who want to celebrate all of who we are, they're finding us. And so when I'm singing to crowds that, and a majority of them don't look like me, to me in my head, I'm like, it's okay. Because I'm the opening act right now. You know, yeah. Like, I'm excited. I love opening up for the people that I'm opening up for. That's mm-hmm. the part of my career where I'm at right now. And in my head, I'm just like, you're going to be a part of this thing when I'm headlining the show. Mm. You know, you're going to be part of the demographic, because I really want to make music for everybody. Like, I really want to make universal country music. Like, I want something for everybody, and everything ain't going to be for everybody. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, maybe there's a song or two that's down your row, you know? And I feel like I can't say more than ever. I hate people say that. Like, we weren't here, you know, before our time. But it feels like right now, more than ever, people enjoy authenticity. Like, mm-hmm. whoever you are yeah. is enough. Yeah, like, whatever your story is, it doesn't need to be mine. It just needs to be real. And that's what drew me to country music. I love that people put themselves in their songs, and I love that people tell the truth, or at least try to. And if you can't tell the truth because it ain't yours, you at least have a high level of empathy to be able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes well enough to articulate that story. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what draws me even to performing. And so I kind of keep that at the forefront of my brain. And it comes with challenges, of course. Mm. It definitely comes with challenges. Like, I mean, even in the creating process, like having people that understand a Black girl from Baltimore City who want to do country music. Yeah. You know, that's interesting. You know, what does a write like that look like? You know, mm-hmm. what does a session like that look like? And it's a lot of exploring, and it's a lot of open-mindedness. And like I said, I feel like in addition to bringing my complexion, I'm bringing my culture, you know? And I feel mm-hmm. like right now in country music, it's a great time to be able to explore what that sounds like. Right. Not just what it looks like, but, and that's important too, but also what does it sound like, you know? Like, I'm not coming and assimilating. I'm bringing, you know, my 8 years of singing opera.
Yeah.
I'm coming and I'm bringing, like, just listening to the Chicks as a kid, and mm-hmm. listening to Nina Simone, and listening to Beyonce, and listening to Sade, and listening to the Clark Sisters. Like, I'm bringing all of that. Like, what does that sound like? Because I come from a place where we listen to everything. And it's so nice to be able to talk to a Baltimore person who's just like that too, because that's not a me thing. And I be trying mm-hmm. to explain that to people in Nashville, like, yo, that is not a me thing. I come mm-hmm. from a very musically eclectic place mm-hmm. where there isn't one genre associated with us. We got Hairspray the Musical, Billie Holiday, and Toni Braxton. Yeah. Like, that's very, those are very different things. And Tupac lived there for like a little while.
Who you had us listening to yesterday?
Oh my God, girl, Tim Trees, girl. You remember Bank Rolls? You think you getting half of my dough? You ain't dough. Please tell me you don't.
I don't, but I wish I did.
She gonna send it to you now.
I'm gonna send it to you, girl.
You
it's
got to.
Crazy.
I wish I knew. I'm sorry. I wish I did.
No. Don't wish. Cause this is old. I'm gonna let you know right after this.
This is older, right?
This was old.
Okay.
But honestly, Britt, that's what drew me to you. I have a best friend who likes country music as well, but I delve in country music, but it's not like something that I'll play every day. But her telling, like, yo, it's this girl from Baltimore who do country, and she sent. And she sent me your stuff, you and Raina, because she's into that. She's mm-hmm. into country more than I am. And so she sent me Raina, she sent me you, she sent me a couple other girls. And I was like, dang, like, shorty, you can really sing, you know, and your voice is very soothing as well. And then you mentioned Beyonce, like something like that is just interesting coming from where I'm from, because you don't see mm-hmm. country singers coming out of our city, you know what I mean, every day. No. Or even every year. This is something that you see every once in a blue. Honestly, yeah. I think you're probably the only one. So, like, you know, that I know, to be honest. And so I know even a Beyonce would take a liking to that. Like, hold up. Like, you know, so how did that even happen? Like, how did that link up happen? Because you're on Blackbird mm-hmm. on the Cowboy Carter album.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't actually know. Hmm. Like, all I know is that I'm there and it's wild and it's insane. Like, being on that record, I feel like, one, it's just breaking a lot of musical boundaries. Mm. Like, for what kind of music people can make. It's kind of disrupting, I think, a lot of the industry, and also disrupting, like, just even the creative process. I think, like, I feel like creatives might take the boxes off a little bit, you know, and not, you know, be as, you know, not, I don't think we've been rigid, but, like, we'll be even more mm-hmm. explorative, and also not feel like, in order to be marketable, you have to be this one thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's always a huge thing. Like, I mean, like, am I marketable? Am I commercial? Will people like this? You know, especially if you want to be a commercial artist. And it's, I don't know, I feel like it's taking the limits off of that. And being a part of that record, like, I was just telling Kevin the other day.
Kevin Lyles
mm-hmm. over here. I was just telling him, I was like, yo, I just realized my album, I put my album out in January, and it opens up with birds chirping. And it opens up with this, I know, right?
Wow.
And it opens up with this song called New to This Town, and it's in the same key as Blackbird, almost the same tempo. And like, I'm just like, this is wild. This is beautiful. Yeah. It's like, you can't orchestrate stuff like that. I mean, I talk about Beyonce on my album, like
Anna Raven is a Blackbird. Baltimore Ravens. I don't know. I just made that up. I don't
know. No, it is.
Just made
it. It is.
But how did it happen? Did she call you? Did somebody call you? Was the record, like, how did the record come together?
I ain't ready to talk about that yet. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I mean, I feel like as an artist, like, I wanna respect, like, her creative process. And and I feel like whenever she's ready to talk about this, she will, and I wanna leave that for her. I love her, I admire her, and also she's Beyonce, and like,
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Hold up. State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
She'll tell the story.
You won't fuck it up either, though.
Yeah, I mean, that, and all, I mean, but also, like, for real, like, on a very heart level, like, I mean, I don't know. People have plans for how they want to, like, reveal stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I just want to wait. Like, I just...
Makes sense.
Yeah, like, I want to... And plus, I want to cherish this. Like, I'm also the same person who, like, will hold on to something for a long time and, like, not share it with nobody. And, like, I don't know. Like, even with my album, I had, like, a little leather keychain. I had the title of it on there. I've been... I had it around. People have my keys. I lose my keys, all kinds of stuff. I have to go back to the store to get it. I've had my stupid life written on all kinds of things for a year. I had it on... like engraved on one of my shirts. Like nobody saw it. Nobody knew. But like it was just like my little thing. Gotcha. And so I respect the creative process. And so
whenever just for you. Because you're young. You know what I'm saying? Even just for you, like later on, maybe you'll write a book or maybe you'll do it like, you know, like a memoir or like a documentary where that will be something for later. You get what I'm saying? Like for you to do. Yeah.
But
you know,
I feel like everything is so instant right now with like social media. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, having a thought out plan, and I get it. I understand urgency. I understand, like, or at least I'm starting to understand just immediacy. I struggle with social media. That is not my forte. Like, I be talking about, I be online.
It's not good for my mental health.
I be online talking to people about how I don't want to be online. I'm like, this is, like, what am I doing? Like, I made a whole song the other day and was like, I TikToked. Someone please tell my team, my label, I TikToked. I did the thing. Like, please. Like, just know that I'm trying today. Like, I can't account for tomorrow. But this week, I'm bored. So, I'm actually doing an experiment where I'm posting, like, 2 or 3 TikToks a day because I'm kind of just bored. I just want to try something out. I don't know what I'm looking for.
Right.
But I'm just having fun talking to people. Mm-hmm. But I forgot what I was talking about just now. That's how this works in my brain.
Well, basically, he was asking you, like, trying to get in your business about how to be obviously linked up. And you say you're going to talk about it later.
But maybe later. Yeah.
It's not for the urgency. It's not for all of that. Like, I got a story about... how, you know, when me and Michael Jackson was cool, I'm going to tell that later. You know what I mean? Because that's a story for later.
I went to the same doctor
right now. You know that, right?
You know, I was just going with it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Best thing to do when you're talking to somebody from Baltimore, just go with whatever they're saying. Get
hold
out
up.
Safe. I'm just playing. Listen, the other black female country artists, you mentioned Raina, but then there's Tana, Adele, Tiara Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Were y'all all familiar with each other and cool with each other before y'all
Okay. So nice. In a sense, me and Raina have been really good friends for a few years. Me and Raina, we met back in 2020, 2021, and Tanner, we met, I want to say we met like last year for the first time. I've literally only been around her a handful of times, but we've like been just really friendly. We have like a common interest in edible glitter.
Edible okay. glitter.
Yeah. Yeah, put it in your drinks. You don't put
the
don't
THC in it?
It's not, like, yeah, I'm like,
mine does, but
okay. Oh yeah.
But that's no, I don't have THC in it. I put the thing, you know, I do the thing.
I got you.
No, it's just regular, just Amazon.
Okay.
Edible glitter. And so that was something that we just kind of talked about.
Glitter in your drink?
Yeah, you never heard of
it.
Because
it makes the drink really pretty, but yes. It's still edible. So
exactly.
You can drink. I got you.
Like okay. Put a little gold dust on your like rosé or something. I mean, anyway, but then we connected with that online. and so like it's just been I don't know, just been mutual respect and just like little things like that. I've known Tierra for a few years. We worked together back in 2021, and so yeah, I mean, I feel like we all kind of like started meeting each other when life got busy, like around 2020, when the conversation around Black Country really kind of started ramping up. And so I don't know, I feel like artists are just kind of like passing ships through the night, and so it's really cool to be able to kind of like have a moment with an artist, because I mean, the beautiful and also sad part is that like you really gotta live in that moment when you're with somebody that is in the same field as you, because once this moment is over, like you might not see each other for a really long time. Like right. I have friends that I've connected with so deeply, like over tour or something, and it was 2 months and I haven't seen them in 2 years now. Wow. And so I know I'll be going through withdrawals. I'm like, oh my God, my friend, we yeah. shared such a beautiful moment, and also now we only see each other anymore right now, just because life is just yeah. hectic. It's kind of hard. Yeah,
life and
I know y'all know about that more than me.
Was there a country music before Beyonce and after Beyonce?
Yeah.
Okay. Like how have things changed?
Yeah. Oh, in that sense. Yeah.
Like how have you benefited from her being in the country music space now?
Oh gosh, I mean, even just some of the stuff that I was saying, like with kind of breaking those musical barriers and kind of like who gets to represent the South, or like. Or just the stories that get to be told, or the way that is told. Like, even just sonically, I feel like people might even be a little more explorative on their albums. Like, my personal favorite album is Lemonade, like, of all time.
Yes,
that's my right. album. When I heard that album, it, like, no one song sounded like another. Mm-hmm. And it was really, like, it shook up my head a lot. And I feel like if people listen to my album, My Stupid Life, like, you can hear that.
Yeah.
You can hear where I just wanted to have storytelling and country music at its core just be the thread through each song, but sonically it's going to be a little rock and country, it's going to be a little R&B and country, it's going to be a little pop and country. Like it's like I feel like I have that thread, and I feel like gosh, I feel like we're going to hear more albums like that, you know. But Lada is inspired by an album that she made, you know, years ago, and so I feel like right now people are just going to be more explorative, like creatively, but also I feel like she's also bringing a really interesting fan base to country music.
Definitely.
And the talent is there, and it's our job to keep them here, you know. I have no idea what her next record is going to be, but hopefully, you know, the people that are here and interested in what this whole moment is because of Beyonce, hopefully they, you know, want to stick around, because there's some incredible talent here, and I think she's done an incredible and generous thing in spotlighting a lot of it on Cowboy Carter.
I was going to ask you, you know, a lot of artists are doing country now, right? We heard, I think Keisha Cole says she's doing a country album.
Hey,
Beyonce's doing Michelle. A country album.
Kay Michelle been doing it, yep.
Yeah. So do you think it might take away from, like, it might be some of these artists might be doing it as a quote-unquote fatty type of thing, and can it hurt or help country music? Because people are not, you know, a lot of people will go because they feel like it's a check, right? And not do it because they feel it in their soul.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think I care. Like, and I know that people that our care, I don't think I do, because I feel like people just do that across genres all the time. Yeah. Like, they just do it. People go and they make a pop record, or they make a rock album, or they make, you know, they make a gospel record.
Wow.
Like, people do that all the time. I mean, even country artists, they make gospel records or a Christian record or something. Like
Taylor Swift about to do a rap album.
She is.
The Tortured Poets Department.
Shut up.
He is lying.
The Tortured Poets.
I don't know, no rap album.
Right. Brittany, he is lying. Okay. Through
all right.
Teeth.
All right.
He's lying. All
right. Everybody wait. I'm about to see.
But I like your perspective on, I've never heard nobody say that.
My eyes was just believing it. I was like, oh, really?
Because, no, you had, when you come up
watch.
Here, You have to realize what you're walking into.
That's right.
Girl, no.
He'll be serious, face serious, mm-hmm. but he'll be lying.
But lying about everything. I'm here for it, though. You know, that's why I'm like, I'm so glad that he advocates for therapy because he does need it. You know.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. But I love your take on how you broke down why you like Lemonade. A mm-hmm. lot of people, they like it for the surface reason. Oh, that's when she was venting about being cheated on and all that. I like it because the same reason is so many different genres of mm-hmm. music.
Yeah.
And like she did rock, you know, mm-hmm. then she had her ballad. Then the country, she yeah. had her country song on there. She was talking about her dad, right? Daddy Lessons.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Lemonade. Like yes. that, I never heard nobody say that, but that's why I like, that's mm-hmm. why Lemonade is my favorite album of hers because of, it's a no skip because it sounds like so many different genres.
That's real.
I just wanted to say that because I, you know, I be in my little music bag a little bit.
You do?
And, yeah, you know, just a little bit.
You
and
do.
And I'm like, okay, B, she won me over with that.
I mean, I feel like the average listener, like, listens to a little bit of everything, you know? I feel like country is, first of all, it's a way of life, you know? Yeah. It's a lifestyle. It's kind of how in this case, I'm a transplant. Like, I'm from Baltimore. Like, mm-hmm. I'm from Randallstown. Like, mm-hmm. I'm from over by Morgan State. Like, that's where yeah. I grew up. That's where I lived. And so I feel like I just fell in love with it. My family, yeah. we went down south every summer to Sumter, South Carolina.
Hey!
Oh, you yeah, are from South Carolina.
Absolutely.
My mother's husband is from there, and every year, somebody die. Every summer, we went down to Sumter, South Carolina.
Jesus.
It was almost like clockwork. Like, I just yeah. knew. Yeah. I mean, God rest all of their souls. And also, it was a nice time driving in South Carolina. That's, yeah. That was my introduction to the South. It wasn't the music at all. Like, it wasn't country music. Mm-hmm. It was going down south and mm-hmm. just getting acclimated to everything down there and watching people fight over whether to put cheese or salt and pepper in your grits. Like that was my introduction. And so, yeah. you know, and so I feel like it is a way of life. And, you know, it's not just sonically like what you hear. It's not just instrumentation. It's the way you tell a story. And it's the stories that you tell. And it's your ability to be honest about it. You know, mm-hmm. it's the ability to connect with people through mm-hmm. the lyrics. Nashville is a song town, you know? And I think it was Hank Williams that said something, I'm going to paraphrase. He said something like, you ain't got to be from the South to do country. You just got to be real.
Mm.
And that's true. Like, you just got to be real with your shit. You have to be honest. And that's what I try to do, you know? And I feel like when I listen to a lot of these albums, like a lot of these pop stars that are doing country albums, I'm like, go for it. Tell your truth. Tell your,
yeah.
speak your shit. You know, mm-hmm. talk. Do your thing. Also disrupt the industry because all of it needs an overhaul anyway. So I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever label execs are like, no, 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 I'm like, yep, that's the one. That's what we need. That thing right there.
I think that's what's making people gravitate towards country because like you said, country music is all about the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the great stories.
Yeah.
I don't know if they feel like they can necessarily tell those stories in whatever they're doing.
Because it's a lot of glitz and glam and
yeah.
a lot of polish.
Pop.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. But the thing that's like connecting with people like is people just being honest about how they feel and mm-hmm. the stuff that they've been through. Like I was reading something a few weeks ago that was talking about how we've been in a loneliness epidemic for like a few years now, especially since like the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's why people love introspective music right now where mm-hmm. people are just like just spilling their guts and just mm-hmm. telling the truth about how they feel, the dark, the ugly. They're not trying to be perfect. They're not just trying to give you like a cliche love song. They're trying to like they're trying to be honest, and I feel mm-hmm. like that's happening a lot across a lot of genres. But it's beautiful when I hear it in country music, mm-hmm. especially paired with like the instrumentation that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Give me like some heartbreaking lyric with like a steel, mm-hmm. man. And growing up in church, I didn't have like we didn't hear steel guitar. I equated to like an organ. There was a friend right. of mine who like told me he was like the steel guitar to country music is the organ to gospel, and I was like, oh man. So true. It's a long, sad, extended note. Mm. You just hold it down and you just, I don't know, it's a little shaky, you know, and it's, I feel it. I feel that. I feel that lyric. And when you pair it with the right instrument and the right production, I mean, I just feel like that can unlock a soul.
I love what you said about the loneliness. And it's like my last question, but because it made me think of this quote I saw you say where you said, if I could go back when you first moved to Nashville, if I could go back, I would tell myself to use that time to find more of myself. If you're not finding your people, at least find yourself.
Mm.
Expound on that a little bit.
Yeah. Finding yourself is hard. Like knowing who you are is hard. And I think half of the battle is figuring out what you're not, you know? And that's a little easier. At least that came a little easier for me. But just figuring out who you are, it'll help attract the right people. You know, like, I feel like sometimes I've spent so much time in life, like, not knowing who I am or what I want to do or knowing my worth. And I attracted people who weren't interested in finding that out either. And that's, I feel like, how I got a lot of my heart broken sometimes. I feel like that's where I got, like, let down. And just opening up to people who can only meet you as far as they've met themselves too. You just have two broken people just trying to figure out why you keep crashing. And I just, I feel like, know who you are. It'll save you and a lot of people a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. Everybody ain't for everybody. And you don't need to do everything, you know? Like, people pleasing and just all that stuff. It's just, a lot of that is just not knowing who you are. And I don't know. I wish I could go back in time. I mean, I won't say I have regrets. I don't really have regrets. I just have, like, if I could have a little do-over, you know, I'd do that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I would go back and just try to figure out who I am a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Because also the other part of it is, if you don't know who you are, there's somebody who probably knows that, and they will use that against you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a weapon. Like, whatever you are ignorant to, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Whatever you are ignorant to about yourself, like, you don't see yourself. You know, I don't see what I look like right now, but you can tell if there's a twitch in my eye or something, if I'm uncomfortable, you can see probably more about me sometimes than I can. And I feel like somebody look at you long enough, they'll learn. They'll learn. Yeah. And if you're around the wrong people, that becomes their weapon.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I feel, I don't know, I would like to protect. I mean, I don't have no regrets, you know, but if I could go back in time, I would have protected myself a lot more. But then again, I wouldn't be who I am right now.
I was going to say, everything happens for a reason.
We wouldn't have this conversation. I probably wouldn't be as empathetic. I probably wouldn't be as vocal as I am. Like, even as I talk about the things that I feel need to change in country music, like, I'm not talking about it from, like, a place of, like, you know, like, y'all doing this, y'all. Like, it ain't like that. I'm actually saying, like, this is an invitation. Mm-hmm. Hey, there is a much bigger story happening here, and history will be told. You know, which side of it are you going to fall on? Because we're going to talk about, like, this is a movement that we're seeing, like, sonically, like, even musically, racially, musically, this is a movement. Like, we're watching a shift. Like, you know, when we talk about it in 10 years, were you forward thinking or were you trying to gatekeep, you know, a future that could actually... that could actually be really dope, you know? Yeah.
Makes the whole genre bigger.
Yeah, it makes the whole genre bigger. And that's a really hard thing. I mean, you from the South, you know, like, the idea of something becoming bigger and having more people, like, that can be really scary, you know, if you're from a small town or if you're, like, because Nashville feels like a big small town. It can feel really scary, you know, like, you know, getting a bigger infrastructure. That can feel really scary, feeling like you're losing your bearings or, you know, but it's actually just an invitation to explore something else, you know, and to let something else in. There could be something really sweet happening right now. And I feel like we watch it so often in a lot of genres where there's shifts, you know, musical shifts where something happens and a whole new genre is made. Honestly, for me, the biggest like cultural difference for me, even in country music, is Black music is by nature very innovative.
Yeah.
Like, we abandon genres and create a whole new, and we've done that, like, consistently. And so That's a cultural thing for me, like, if I'm honest. But I feel like the industry is going to continue to shift, and I hope that people feel this invitation from me and all anybody else speaking out about this to just be like, hey, something new is gonna happen. Let these pop artists come and do their thing.
Right.
You know, I want to hear what they got to say. I want to hear their country album. Why not? Because I want to hear your gospel album, and I want to hear the song that you do with that pop artist that you're featured on. And when you go to that pop festival, like, I want to hear it. And so, and I think a lot of people do. And I think the fans want to hear that as well. And so why not give it to them? Give them a show. Be on the stage.
This is my last question. Speaking of when you were talking about sweet things happening, you're going on tour with Willie and Bob. Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan, girl.
I've been on the road with Willie for 3 years. And It never ceases to amaze me that, like, I get to do this. Like, the amount of people, like, I'm excited to be on the road with Willie. I've never toured with Bob before, Bob Dylan. And I think, I don't know, like.
You ain't never smoked with Willie, though.
Nah, but I have had some of his weed. He got this this company called Willie's Reserves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they like they just be pulling up on you in your dressing room. They just like knock on the door, mm-hmm. you know, and they just be like, I got you something. They got the canister. The canister is fire. I keep the mm-hmm. canister.
Yeah.
I've ran out of that weed. But I you know,
pre-rolls or
yeah, pre-rolls, yeah.
Wow. She said I ran out same day.
You know, so you ain't like falling asleep, you know. And so
yeah.
And so I love Willie. I did meet yeah. him. I sang with him. Like he always invites like everybody that's been on a stage before him to come and sing with him at the end of the night. Mm. And he just like he's the sweetest. Like he blew me a kiss one time in the middle of the song. He was like, mwah. And I was like, Willie, I love you so much.
Mm.
And so it's just, it's an honor. Like, mm-hmm. especially when an artist is 90 years old.
Yeah.
Like, wow. to be able to do this in their lifetime. Like, that's how I feel. Like, and I mean, I've gotten to do this a few times. Like, 3 years with Willie. I've toured with, I mean, she's not at his age yet, but Reba, I've toured with her.
Oh, my God.
I opened up for Bruce Springsteen last year. I'm excited about Bob Dylan this year. Gosh, like I don't know. I get excited. I get wow. excited, but I also so get excited about the younger ones too.
Yeah,
opened up for Megan Thee Stallion. That was fun.
First of all, yes, for real.
That was fire.
That's what's
in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, fire.
Yeah, I did. That was fun. I love touring. I really do. Yeah. I love touring, and
well, you love it now.
Yeah, I loved it before too. That was the hard part. I was like, yo, why am I but zapping
no more,
out?
No more vomit. None of that.
No,
because Bob and Willie don't want to. We not. All
right. I go up to sing on the last song and I'm just, you know, just projectiles. Yeah,
like, oh and then he done blew a kiss and you talking about, ugh. Like, don't do that.
I can't do that.
Though. You know, Sarah Jake Roberts, yeah. She said that whenever you are doing something new,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have some form of anxiety.
Yeah.
Because you've never been in that space before.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just like you kind of got to just embrace it. You know, of course, yeah. we all got our techniques, you know, the breathing exercises,
feelings,
some meditation,
man.
Things like yeah. that. But you're going to feel something.
Yeah, you are. Ugh, feelings, they're so hard.
Mm-hmm.
New things are hard.
That's right.
But I love touring. I'm having a great time. And like I said, I'm the opening act right now. And I'm having a great time because people have been very kind and embracing me. And it's cool to like even just watch the stages that have let me on, like just as a country artist. Being able to say like in the same year you opened up for Reba, and Megan Thee Stallion and Maren Morris and a Sheryl Crow. Like that's an eclectic like lineup of people. Like but I like being the kind of artist that has songs for all those stages. And I'm gonna keep doing it.
I'm so proud of you.
Brittany,
thank
we
you.
Appreciate you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, My Stupid Life is out right now. Pick it up, Brittany Spencer.
Listen to Blackbird on Beyonce's Cowboy Carter.
That's right. And it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.